Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the show where we affirm and celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination to juice our lives and give us ways through when sometimes life seems difficult, and of course to take us to other worlds of reality and possibility. Our wonderful guest today is no stranger. Her name is Jane Carlton. She is a teacher of active dreaming. She's a gemologist. She is a profound and prolific dreamer, and I've known Jane for a long time. I think we first met at Esalen. And she is a wonderful practitioner of dreaming, and she's going to help us understand all the gifts that dreaming can bring into everyday life, as well as all the fun and adventure in other worlds that dreaming offers. Welcome, Janie.
Hi, Robert. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's tell a story. I'm going to get you to tell it, because we both worked on this. I've told it many times, so have you. Let's tell a story from history, which is sort of rather unexpected to dreamers who haven't heard something like this before, because it just reveals how dreaming has been a secret engine of discovery and invention and change in every sector of life. The story involves the history of the oil business, and it takes us to a country known as Kuwait, and it takes us to a remarkable fellow called Colonel Harold Dixon, who in the photographs that survive looks like Winston Churchill dressed as Lawrence of Arabia. So tell us this story. It's really a remarkable story of how dreaming can get us through in almost any context.
Oh, I love this story. So Colonel Harold Dixon was a retired British colonel, and he was working for a British oil company looking for oil in Kuwait, and drilling and drilling and searching and searching and coming up empty. Couldn't find oil. He has a dream that there's a sandstorm in the desert, and at the base of a lone cedar tree, a hole opens up, and out comes a beautiful woman, and she gives him a coin. And this dream is just full of magic, and he takes the dream to a Bedouin dream interpreter. Her name was Umm Mubarak. And she says, oh, that means there's treasure under the sands in the desert. And, oh, by the way, I know a location that's just like what you described in your dream. And so Colonel Harold Dixon somehow convinces the oil company to move the rigs many, many, many kilometers to this very spot. And they drill, and the very first drill, they come up with a gusher. It's oil well number one. And that oil became used during World War II to help the Allies fight the Nazis during the war. It was a remarkable find, and remarkable to me that he actually was able to convince people to move those rigs to that location.
Very well told, and there's so much to be learned from it. Let me just add one or two elements of practice that we can all learn from beyond what Janie's told us. You know, the colonel had his dream written down. I say he had it written down because he got his wife, Violet, to write it down at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've looked into Violet's life, and if you look at pictures of her, she had survived the colonel by many years. She was no shrinking Violet. I mean, she was a formidable, you know, colonialist English woman, but she was willing to write dreams down at 4 in the morning. So, I mean, that's an element. He had it written down with the details. And when Jane says cedar tree, we're talking about a tree whose name actually is spelled S-I-D-R. It's not the cedar. We might be familiar to us. It's a singular tree. And Janie's point, I mean, how do you get people to listen? Well, this is not some New Age, you know, type. This is Colonel Harold Dixon, former British political agent in Kuwait. who stayed on in his former residence. He's been allowed to stay in his former residence, overlooking what they call the Arabian Gulf. And when he goes to the directors of the Kuwait Petroleum Company, once again, this is not some flake from a crystal shop. This is Colonel Dixon. Oh, yes, he's one of ours. Oh, funny that he gets it from a dream. I might just add that he was also close friends with the Sheikh of Kuwait, and the Sheikh of Kuwait needed no convincing about dreams. He thought that his life had been saved from assassination twice by dreams, by cautionary dreams, warning dreams. So there's a practice here, and then going to get the second opinion. Dixon's wet nurse, I believe, had been Bedouin. So anyway, the Bedouin regarded him as one of their own. And as I mentioned, when you look at pictures of him, and you can find them, Janie actually found one of Dixon sitting under a tree that might be the cedar tree from the dream. He does look very funny. You have to imagine Winston Churchill got up as Lawrence of Arabia. So that story, well told by Jane, takes us right to the heart of the matter for this show, which is, you know, dreaming gets us through. It provides solutions and opportunities we might not be aware of in everyday life. When you think about the course of your life, Janie, or perhaps some of the people have been fortunate enough to have been counseled by you and brought their dreams to you, give us an example, or more than one if you like, of a dream that might have been, you know, a game changer or a key revelation or something that really showed the way forward when perhaps it wasn't clear.
Well, I think of one recently for myself. I have had a little bit of a challenge with a neighbor who has a diagnosis of dementia. And it's been a challenge because I'm the target of her illness. And I was having nightmare after nightmare about the situation, about running away and being chased, and terrible, terrible dreams, and situation, you know, something that's not resolved. And then recently I had a dream where we were hugging, she was healthy again, we were hugging, we were saying, I love you to each other, and that completely shifted my fear, my anger, the frustration I've been feeling to really, truly compassion. It shifted me completely, and it was just absolutely miraculous. So that's a recent story for me.
And you've been able to carry that energy and that compassion into the situation and operate on that.
Absolutely, and I also have, you know, held more calmness in myself regarding the situation, which, you know, still needs to be handled. But it was, yeah, I just see her in love. I see her with compassion. I send love to her. Whereas when I was triggered, I wasn't able to do that.
That is a wonderful example of how dreaming gets us through. And you throw my mind back many years to a time when I was really embroiled in a terrible feud with another man. I mean, we were really at each other. And I dreamed that I'm in the men's restroom. And he comes in. This might not look like a promising situation from my point of view. And he's filled with anger and hatred, and it really feels awful. And somehow or other, my dream self, knowing more than my waking self, I couldn't imagine this scenario in ordinary life, turns to him and says, I love you, in the men's room. And when my dream self says this, suddenly this fellow who's already getting puffed up with bitterness and animosity, he starts shrinking, and finally he looks like a pink baby. But on his way to becoming a baby-like figure, you know, things are happening for me. I'd have to lean over the sink because I have to throw up in the dream. And I'm throwing up buckets of rusty nails, and I realize that this was the sign of, the form of all the hatred and animosity that had been projected against me, and perhaps I'd done the same to him. I didn't see that in the dream. Anyway, at the end of the dream, coming out of the dream, I'm astonished, and I feel light, and I feel free, and I don't recall any episode after that involving any of the old animosity or conflict. It was as if it had been absolutely thoroughly resolved in the dream, which was not only a dream of love and compassion in unlikely circumstances, but had almost this sort of shamanic quality, you know, throwing up the things that had been projected against you, getting them out of your system, a thorough cleansing. And then it was a bit like that scene in Star Wars, remember, where Darth Vader's helmet comes off and he actually starts looking like a baby, like innocent, once he's out of all that armor and clanking metal and clanking thoughts. So that was also an example of a dream which, you know, changed an emotional situation and released, okay. And I was able to carry that. Jane, I'm looking at a dream report. Can I share a dream report with you, and you can play guides for me, and we can demonstrate what people who are new to the show may not yet appreciate, which is that we have come up in our dream school, our school of active dreaming, with a simple method for sharing dreams, or in fact any personal story, which makes it pretty safe to do this anywhere with just about anyone, and we never play interpreter or guru or master or anything like that for each other. We just give feedback from our point of view. And rather than lay out the steps of the lightning dreamwork process, as we call it, I'm just going to, with her permission, tell a dream to Janie and have her guide me through the process. Is that good?
Yes.
I'm going to have to read it a little bit, not only because it's a few weeks old, but because, although it's not a long report, it has in it some things I found difficult to express. I've done a little bit of work with it, but I have many questions about it. All right, we'll call it The Interplay of Lives, The Interplay of Lives. And there's a key character who's with me in it who is Armenian. I'm not going to give his name, but I'll just say that he is Armenian. And actually, I identified him later, but I won't jump ahead of myself. And I observe him, but it seems as if I also am him. So there's that element of the dream of being both observer and actor. And the setting is interesting. The setting is like southwestern France, maybe like Montpellier, University City. And there's a lot going on in a very special kind of research center or lab. There are teams of researchers working vigorously and enthusiastically. And their theme is, how do lives of personalities in different times and places influence each other? In other words, they're looking at, you know, past lives, future lives, parallel lives, and how they might interplay, the effect on each other. And they've distinguished two interesting effects of the influence of a personality in another time and place on you in your present time and place. One of these effects they have termed the funnel effect. This language is really quite interesting. The funnel effect is when you are so closely aligned with, let us say, that woman in the Italian Renaissance or that druid in the 6th century. You're so aligned with another personality that your energies flow together. It's like streams joining, streams meeting up and becoming a stronger river. So there's a funnel effect, which is when the energy and knowledge of another self somewhere else comes into play in your life, and the two of you are together, and perhaps it's throwing effects into two different life stories. And it's actually depicted in my dream in a digital display. It looks like two streams of light joining and becoming a river of light of great power. And then the other effect, the other way that lives going on in different places influence each other is what I think I call the snap-on effect. I'm not sure that's the term that they're using in the lab, but I call it the snap-on effect. And once again, I'm shown very interesting models. I'm shown something like a diorama of what could be seen as a hilly landscape. I guess it could be seen as the surface of the brain. I'm not quite sure what it is. But it represents this, let's say, this diorama, let's say this hilly landscape laid on a table, picture that. It represents maybe the whole life story, the whole situation of a person in present time, and then laid over it, following similar patterns and corrugations, laid over it like a lid, but a lid that is shaped to fit all the contortions and corrugations and convolutions, is another thing, another looks like a second diorama. If they snap together, then the two lives are very completely joined. And when this happens, life decisions may be issued forwards or backwards from past or future personality. Control may shift. There may be a struggle for dominance between a personality another time and the present personality. So And then the thought is with me that when this happens, when all of this is going on, you may discover these different personalities have really a unified identity, a spiritual identity, a self beyond all the personality aspects, that they are, in a sense, a one-souled organism with autonomous parts. Well, that was my effort to explain something that, as you can gather, was rather difficult to express. I came back, I won't do the rest of it, but I came back very excited and also struggling to actually to write anything down. So there you are.
Oh, that's a real simple dream, Robert. Thank you.
But I thought I'd give you something that's just a baby step. Get us going.
Well, how did you feel when you woke up, Robert?
I felt very excited, and as I wrote it, and I came up with these terms, I think funnel effect was in the dream. I think snap-on effect is what my editing mind made up as I'm trying to write it down. But as I came up with words for what was really a very difficult experience to express, to turn into it, I felt almost triumphant. I felt really good. Oh, this is great. I'm beginning to, not only am I beginning to see the layout of a theme that is always of great interest to me, which is how different life experiences might play into each other across time and space, not just reincarnation, but how it might all be going on at once. Not only have I been able to see a bit more of that and gain the confidence that other good minds, perhaps better minds than mine, are working on it, but I've actually got some words. I've got some words that could begin to describe it. So I felt really good.
Yes. Yes. And tell me, so could any part of this take place in the future, any part of this dream?
Well, the location is interesting because I did teach before the pandemic and before I got rather leery about world travel. I did teach in this part of the world often. I taught near Montpellier, which is a famous university city in southern France. I taught there over 10 years, and I must have taught, 20 workshops and trainings, and Montpellier is a city that I like, and there are good minds in that part of the world, so it would not be impossible if I hit the road again that I would find myself with people interested in these things as I am, and in some cases bringing scientific and other knowledge and skill sets to the discussions. I mean, that's possible. It's also possible that I'll run into such people. As I say, a key figure had an Armenian name. I then met a man with that same Armenian name. I don't think he's the man from my dream, but I met him after the dream. So in a sense, one of the names has come into play, and he's a very interesting man who's very interested in my work and wants to pursue it. So it might turn out that he's part of the picture too. So there are elements that are in some sense playing already and more that could be playing.
I love it. Let me make sure I'm clear on the names. So you said the funnel effect with an F in the beginning.
Yeah.
And the stamp on, like a stamp.
Snap together. Snap on.
Oh, snap on. Okay, thank you. Okay, snap on, and that which makes sense with the lid snapping together. And will you clarify for me just a little bit more about the difference between these two effects? Personalities are aligned with another.
The funnel effect is easy. Just picture, as I was shown in the dream, two streams of light that are converging, you know, like a V shape coming down. Two streams are like two rivers streaming together. And then they form one river of light carrying on with the joined energy of the two streams. So that's what they call the funnel effect. If you think of the shape of a funnel, it even looks like, you know, a funnel with the triangular shape pointing down and then the energy coming from it. The snap-on effect, as I say, I think that's the word my editing mind came up with. Picture a diorama of a hilly landscape on a table, and then something that looks very similar or identical is laid on top and snapped. They snap together, and this is a representation, a model, of maybe two entire life patterns being joined up together, so that all the key elements in a life are matched up to all the key elements in another life, and they're joined that way.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you. Great models, by the way. So what would you most like to know about this dream?
Well, I want to know how it, I want to know more about it. I want to know if these are viable models, if these are working models for things we all probably want to understand. I mean, since the dream, I've been looking a lot into the literature of India in terms of the many lives and the interplay between them and how you might be connected to 100 other lives and through 100 other dreams and all that kind of thing and the philosophy going around that. And I see the resemblances. I think in some ways my lab here in Montpellier is giving us a clearer, simpler model of these things than a lot of the older literature. So I'm just interested to know more about it. I'm interested to know what other people feel about the possible influence of other life stories in their present lives. People go on about reincarnation, and I'm an agnostic about that. I mean, I think that we are connected to the dramas of other people, but I also think that as Seth, the Jane Roberts Seth personality, told us, in a sense, it's all going on right now. And I think what I'm seeing in the dream are models for how, right now, in your life or mine, we might be receivers of energy and connected to patterns relating to other lives.
Yes. One of the things that intrigues me is the idea not only of other lives, but of lives that we've lived within our own lives,
sure.
Multiple lives that we've had. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so if I may jump into If It Were My Dream after the break, I know a break is coming up.
Oh, perfect. Then, you're a real pro now, Janie. We have to take a break. So we'll come back to the If It Were My Dream with my my terribly simple, straightforward dream. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Jane Carlton. We'll get her coordinates so you can contact her if you like. She does personal dream counseling, and she's very, very good. So we'll take a short break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. I told a dream to our wonderful guest today, Jane Carlton, and she's about to if it, which is not a rude expression. If it means she's going to play If It Were My Dream and give me whatever associations she has. If you're new to these ways of talking, they're important. We need to do these processes under manners, as I'm told British gangsters say, under manners. Let's get it under manners. So that we are not trying to, you know, tell other people how things are or tell them what their dreams mean. So, Jane, you heard my dream of the interplay of lives. You're going to do If It Were My Dream on it.
Thank you so much. It's a wonderful dream. So If it were my life, if it were my dream, just kind of starting at the top, I would, you know, see what unfolds with the Armenian gentleman that you've recently connected with, and see if there's more that comes through with that relationship. And obviously this is really deep, complicated quantum physics type of inquiry. So I'm curious if there is somewhere in France a university or a research center that is doing this work, or work that's similar to this. It'd be interesting, you know, just to see if there's something out there working on this. I know there are wonderful research projects, you know, around quantum physics and around, you know, these types of ideas. When I think of the funnel effect, I had a flash of, I first heard tunnel. And so I flashed on the birth canal. I flashed on being born. I flashed on lives being born. So that was just a little association I had. And then I heard funnel when we clarified that. And I love that image of the two streams of light converging. And what I think about is, you know, as a gemologist, I work with gemstones. And one of the things that we have is something called double refraction in certain gemstones. And that's where the light ray gets split up. And you end up, when you're looking through the stone, you see a double image of things. Because the light rays are being split up into this double image, and then as it moves through the stone, we see it come together again. You can't discern that with the naked eye. You have to see it under magnification. And so there's the two streams of light converging is something that actually does happen in the physical world in gemstones and minerals, et cetera. The snap-on effect made me think of, the hilly landscape or the brain. Those are good images for me with that. But I saw them as mirror images of each other. I saw them when they snap together as being different perspectives of the same life. Or I saw one being more about the multiverse, and the other one more about, what about all the different lives that I live in my own, in this life that I've lived, you know, and the different ways of perceiving. So, you know, the ways that we see just everyday life and our mechanical way of just moving through the world. But then there's that other deeper way of seeing things, that deeper, and as you say, life rhymes. How do life stories, you know, rhyme with each other, and then, but they're different and they change and they evolve. So one seemed more personal to me, and the other seemed more communal, as far as more cosmic, more multiverse, more, you know, I don't know what to say about that because I don't know that much about it. So, but that the two together really do lead to a wholeness of life and a wholeness of the way that we navigate through life. And I think that one of them also brings to mind synchronicities. You know, the way that synchronicities unfold is somehow related to this. That things are popping up that are a reflection of what's happening. And may I, in that context, just share a very, very quick little story from Easter?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah, so I went to this beautiful reservoir. I love to walk, and it was a lot of cars, and I had to wait for parking. And there was one car, and I was really getting impatient. I wanted to get into the walk around my lake, but it was a family. They were moving slowly. And I was like, okay, Jane, be patient. It's Easter. Love, love, love. You know, sometimes I have to remind myself not to be impatient or whatever those characteristics are that pop up. And so I'm reminding myself, be patient. So I found myself putting myself in a position of where I had two parallel ways I could work with this, and I chose patience. And then they finally moved, and I was able to park in their parking spot, and I park in the parking spot as soon as I get there, and I congratulate myself. I say, well done, you were patient. And just at that moment, an osprey flies right over my car, carrying a trout in her talons.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, thank you. It's like the universe said, well done.
Yeah,
so anyway.
It feels like that. Yeah,
so back to the dream, I feel like these mirror images, these different ways of moving, you know, there's so much in play, and they do snap together somehow. So that's pretty much it for if it were my dream. Any reflections, an action plan? Is there any further action
you'd
like to take?
Well, you actually have shepherded me towards a very simple action plan. I have not shared the content of the dream with the Armenian guy who has the same name as the character in the dream, so I'm going to do that and discover more about what he knows and what his connections are. And I'm also going to share the dream with some friends in Montpellier in southern France, where there's a huge medical university. And I have a feeling that some of these researchers are in medical science, neuroscience, that kind of thing. So I'm going to share the dream with some people who might be able to take me into current states of scientific and indeed philosophic thinking beyond my own range. And I'm reminded as I say that one point in my life, I dream often about quantum physics and things beyond it. But the amount I could bring back was very limited because I'm not schooled in physics and I don't have that kind of mind. So I'd often be aware, wow, I've just been given all this stuff. If my friend so-and-so, who's a physicist, were dreaming this, and I try to pass on to friends who did have those skill sets, enough of my dreams for them to follow up. So that's an initial plan. You also, when you talked about elements from one span of years from the current life playing out and coming up and becoming relevant again, you took me back into boyhood, where I'm just driving with my parents in the old family car, big boxy old Holden they were called in Australia, and I'm looking at the landscape, which is a somewhat hilly landscape, and everything shifts in my perception. It's as if the whole landscape lifts up like a rug, like a carpet, and there's another landscape underneath it which looks the same except it's the landscape below the landscape. So you just took me back into a childhood memory which resembles the setup of the snap-on effect in the dream. It was one of those moments when you just wake up in a simple way, which I can describe as I just did, to the fact that there's a world behind the world. We're not just in one universe. We are in a multidimensional universe. So we've been listening to Jane Carlton. I call her Janie because she's been a friend for a long time. Janie, there are many people looking for personal guidance with their dreams. If they wanted to contact you because you're a wonderful counselor, how would they do that?
Well, I have a website, and it's yourdreamingself.com. And you can find a contact way to contact me there. My email address is jane@yourdreamingself.com.
So if you need someone to look at your dreams, I help you look at your dreams, I help you look at your gems, because Jane is also a very fine gemologist. There you are, yourdreamingself.com. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after a short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. Our wonderful guest is Jane Carlton. She is a teacher of active dreaming, and she does personal counseling if you're interested. And she's also a very fine gemologist, so she can turn a jeweler's eye to your dreams and your gems. I'm going to ask Jane to share a dream with me, and we're going to do what she's already demonstrated, which is what we call the lightning dreamwork process. I called it lightning because I want it to be quick, and I want it to harness energy like a bolt of lightning. You can actually take any amount of time, but it's good to have something we can do with a dream or a story relatively quickly. It's also important to have safety rails, guard rails, so that we don't get into telling other people what their dreams mean, and we don't tolerate fishing expeditions into information we don't want to share. So, Janie, do you have a dream you'd like to share right now?
I do. So my dream title is A Snake and Eagle with a Woman's Face. And
okay.
So I'm with a group of people, and we're on a hike in Red Rock Country. And we're on a kind of a steep ridge that has a scree slope with a jumble of large rocks below me. And I almost slip down the slope as I'm trying to do something, but I'm able to pull myself back. But it's kind of a scary moment. And as we continue down the trail, somebody's afraid of a large brown snake that we come upon. And twice in the dream, I've grabbed the snake just below the head to prevent it from striking. And I don't know if it's venomous or not, but there's a feeling of danger. And the first time I grabbed it might be when I had slipped down the slope. But I move it somewhere that I think it won't be dangerous, and I think, okay, we don't have to worry about the snake now. But then it shows up again in a jumble of rocks behind us, and people are afraid. And this time, I grab it just below the head, and it's dangling down from my arm, and it has a full belly, like it's either just eaten or might be pregnant. And I walk away from where we all are, and I think we're having lunch there or camping there. It's daytime. And I just think, I'm just going to move it a little further away, and I go to where there's this large rocky outcropping, and I go around the side of this large rocky outcropping, and I'm just getting ready to release it. I'm holding it up high when this huge eagle swoops down and grabs it from my hand, and now I see the snake is in its talons, and it's getting ready to eat it. And as I'm walking away from this spot and walking away from this scene, I see that the bird is absolutely huge, much larger than normal. And now it has a woman's face, and I know it's some kind of a mythological creature. And in my memory of the dream, I see it as having my mother's face, who has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. What an interesting dream. How did you feel as you came out of the dream?
Well, my first feeling was I felt terrible because it's like, oh my God, this beautiful snake is being eaten by the eagle. It's like, how, you know, if I had just left it alone, it would be just fine. So, you know, I was blaming myself and feeling terrible.
Oh.
But then I was really happy because I had this interesting dream. I said, wow, this has got some.
Yeah.
This has got some magic in it.
Yeah, so the Red Rock Country is this kind of country you know and might travel through?
Yes, I absolutely love the canyon land of the Southwest.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case. And your mother's face, anything else in the dream? Brown snakes? Have you come across brown snakes? Could there be a brown snake in your future in one way or another?
You know, I periodically see snakes. I love to go hiking in the open space here in California, and it's quite common for me to come across a rattlesnake or a gopher snake or something like that. So I'm out there and I do see snakes, and I really like snakes.
Okay. And the eagle that becomes the heaven bird, the mythic bird, You've seen eagles, but have you had experiences in dreams or visions or in other ways of a heaven bird of this kind?
I have. When camping, I've seen eagles flying, three eagles one time flying near me, near where I was camping. I have a piece of art that I bought the last time I was in Sedona with a very prominent eagle in the corner. It's red rock cliffs with an eagle and a lot of other, you know, animals and images in the
right.
You know, so I see that all the time. I look at it all the time and
right.
see something
what
new in it. I love
point?
Eagles.
Where's your curiosity pardon? Right? Where's your curiosity right now?
Oh, my curiosity, yeah, well, I think partly is that it took on a woman's face. And just anything about the dream, really, and about the
right.
snake, and
right.
yeah.
Well, I'd be prepared for some kind of visionary experience when I return to Red Rock Country. I love the image of the eagle with the snake in its talons. This is the image I painted on my first shamanic drum, and I painted it thinking that this represents, it came from a vision, and it's a vision that crops up in mythology quite frequently. It represents something raising the serpent power to a higher level. So it's like Kundalini harnessed and under control. That's what the symbol means to me. It's on the flag of Mexico, so my mind goes there. It wasn't it the vision of an eagle rising with a serpent in its hand that led to the foundation of the Aztec capital? Anyway, it's a symbol for me of raising the tremendous force of the serpent power, harnessing it and being able to control it, but above all, raising it. When the bird takes on a human face, you know, we're in the family of the Garudas and other mythic birds that are often, or the Burak that takes the prophet to, under the guidance of Gabriel through all the heavens. I mean, we come to this whole family of heaven birds who are often shown with human faces and with the bodies of enormous eagles or something larger than an eagle, like a roc, R-O-C. So I feel I've been blessed by this dream. I mean, it's interesting that I'm concerned for the snake. I guess because I grew up in Australia, or failed to grow up in Australia, which has more venomous snakes than any other country in the world, I'm not automatically in sympathy with physical snakes. I'm very much in sympathy with the symbolic snake, the snake of transformation, the snake that can shed its skin, the snake of healing. So I'd want to honor this dream. I mean, I would love to have a painting, a picture, a collage of the human-faced bird rising with a snake in its talon. I mean, it would drive me to draw or paint or collage such a thing, or at least to find something that resembles it. Is that something you might do?
You know, I really like that idea of a collage. And I did feel this incredible power from the bird. And so yeah, I think I will. I'll do an art project. And as it is, I do have a little little serpent statue that I put in a prominent place to look at, and I love that association with transformation and also with flying, you know, flying to higher levels of life, really. You know, so
I drew a human faced bird like an eagle within the last year or so. I'll see if I can find that drawing and send it to you just to celebrate your dream. It had a title, something like, an interesting title, something like "This Is How It All Begins" or something like that. Speaking of titles and phrases, if you were to make up a bumper sticker, personal mantra, scroll from your dream, what would the words be?
I'm flying to a higher level.
That's good. That's good.
I like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Where the Dreamer with Robert Mouse. We'll be back after another short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Jane Carlton. She is a dream counselor. She's the teacher of active dreaming. She's been through the levels of my training for teachers of active dreaming. So, Janie, let's just play around with some of the questions and themes that people have, and we can think about people on any level of practice. And, of course, the most common question about dreams that I hear, and maybe this is true for you too, is, I don't remember my dreams. How can I do that? Or why don't I remember my dreams? So how do you talk to people who might be interested but really are not sure because they're just not remembering dreams? How do you talk to them?
Well, you know, first of all, I remind people that dreaming is more than what happens while we're sleeping. So usually people are referring to, you know, remembering nighttime dreams. And you know, it's important to have your tools handy to catch dreams so that you don't forget them. And I've been recommending more dictating the dreams into a smartphone, but you know, pen and paper, pencil, draw a little sketch of something from the dream. So you want to catch something from the night, even if it's just a little phrase or an image that can oftentimes bring back the whole dream. But I also really think it's important to look at what's happening in our waking lives and see what our dreamlike experiences, like my experience I shared with the osprey flying over me with the trout. It's a beautiful image, and it gave me basically a daytime dream to enjoy, you know, and savor. So that's how I approach it, is include other things as well as nighttime dreams.
And, of course, another frequent question involves nightmares. People often use the term to cover a whole range of experiences, from formless night terrors through what is simply a bad dream to, or a bad feeling dream to, a nightmare in the sense of a dream that's so scary you break off, get out because you can't take it anymore. What do you say to people who are really put off from dreaming because they've tried to slam the door on bad experiences during the night? They might have done that, of course, a long time ago. I mean, I've noticed working with people, and you have too, but sometimes the reason that someone doesn't have any dreams is that long ago, maybe as long ago as early childhood, they had bad dreams and nightmares, got no help. They basically sometimes literally prayed for the dreams to stop, and the dreams stopped. So what do you do for people, with people who might be interested that have been put off by things that go bump in the night?
Well, I feel that those types of dreams can often have the most transformative possibility. So I assure people that, first of all, you do have power as a dreamer. So there are things that you can do to take a dream that's a nightmare and turn it into a transformative opportunity. And so, you know, I invite people to work nightmares with me. Usually a 90-minute session with me will resolve a nightmare and will bring through what the message is that wants to come through and the transformative spark that wants to be born. But, you know, the thing about nightmares is that on the spot, if somebody wants to share a nightmare with me, I'll guide them in creating a furthering of the dream to have – an ending that's going to bring them something that's a gift from this dream. And it's a process where you need to guide someone very carefully so that they're not re-traumatized.
Right.
So yeah, nightmares are good. They're good dreams to have.
There's a gift in nightmares, as I use the phrase, and perhaps you do the same. I mean, a nightmare is not just a bad dream, not just a scary dream. It's an unresolved dream. It's sort of unfinished. You broke off. You ran away. It's not satisfactory. You don't have an ending. So the RX for me is always, if possible, get yourself or get your client, get your friend back to go back into the dream space and face the issues on their own ground. And sometimes that can lead to full resolution and healing in the dream space. And sometimes you discover, well, wait a minute, this dream is so close to physical manifestation that you can't handle it without physical action in the world. You know, I mean, it might be pointing to a medical crisis, which you can't avert because there's a whole life story involved. But however, you can be better prepared, whether it's you or someone else. It might relate to a possible accident on the road that you can avoid if you recognize how the dream might anticipate the situation on the road and take it, you know, as advice for the road, as driving instructions. So sometimes you can resolve it inside the dream. Sometimes it requires physical action to integrate the knowledge from the dream with what lies ahead on the roads of life. But either way, leaving it unfinished, unresolved, a horror you're just trying to hold behind a closed door is a poor strategy because, you know, what we tend to sort of suppress from our dreams is likely to pursue us in waking life. I mean, that's the pattern. Jung noticed that pattern again and again, and we've both noticed it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess another question that comes up from people quite often, including people who are doing a lot of dream sharing, is, oh, look, you have this great mythic dream. Jane's got a bird with a human face lifting up a serpent in Red Rock Country. My dreams are so boring. I mean, pre-pandemic, I'm back in the office in my cubby, and I'm doing the stuff that I have to do every day and dealing with my colleagues, and I'm going to the grocery store. Why do I have such mundane dreams instead of these mythic epic dreams? What do you say to somebody who has that complaint?
Well, I tell them I welcome to the club. I have the same thing happen for me. You know, a high percentage of my dreams are mundane dreams and frustrating dreams and all that. So I just say, you know, I basically keep my eyes open for the ones that have some juice for me, the ones that are not just a repetition of the same old stuff. But I also, you know, it's very true that little dream snippets, even the most mundane sounding thing, when you start working with it and start unpacking it and playing with it, can end up leading you to an amazing story. So even little mundane dream snippets usually have, well, I'd say always, have some kind of a gift in it.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at recurring dream elements. I mean, a recent dream of mine, much simpler than the one I gave you, I can't operate my phone. This happens again and again. I can rarely make my phone work in my dream in any sense. It doesn't do smartphone stuff. It doesn't do regular calls. On this occasion, it's behaving really wildly. It is broadcasting, beaming out messages in many different languages, some of which I don't recognize at all. It's as if it's become sort of a loudspeaker, sending out messages in 20 different languages, and I'm trying to figure out what's happened to my phone. And it seems that the underlying source, maybe the source of it all, is Rita's Beauty Salon, which seems to be in Mexico. Somehow Rita's Beauty Salon and its system has taken over my phone and is hurling messages in different languages in this cacophony in all directions. I could have given you that dream, and that's enough. I mean, there's just that one element. But I would love, and if you have any quick, if it were my dream, I'd love to hear it.
I think just really quickly, my first thought is broadcasting messages could be so much information coming through, you know, in my life and in my work. And then there's some kind of a call to have a sense of humor, too. Like, don't forget, you know, Rita's Beauty Salon, you know, something that I find really humorous. So in the midst of all the seriousness, there's humor, too.
That is very good, and that's actually very helpful, because I've been involved in an immense amount of research, both bringing back old stuff and reading dozens of new books, studying the history of dreaming in many different traditions, and lightening up and remembering you've got to speak to the people in Rita's beauty salon as well. It's a good thing to be aware of. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Mars. We'll be back to say Dream On with Jane Carlton in a minute.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We've been pursuing the dream adventure with Jane Carlton. It's such fun to talk to you, Janie. And you just revived our understanding that just the smallest snippet from a dream can be frothy and funny and enlivening. Thank you so much for what you do and for sharing with us.
Thank you, Robert. It's been fun.
All right. So dream on, everybody. May your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.